This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us on a Monday where, unfortunately, we have another tragedy in our country, what involves guns, and it's time it's in Vegas. If you have not heard as of yet, if you're just waking up to the news, it's just horrific. And we will get into the sports here in a bit. This show, as is sports in general, we've said this through the 20-plus years, 30-plus years coming up on, actually, that sports is a distraction. When all the bad stuff is going on in the world, we like for it to be a distraction. This was a weekend where there was booing during the national anthem towards players in Baltimore. I mean, the anthem protests, the ratings started to slide in certain markets. I'll get into that here in a bit. Paula Bovin will be with us, news and notes. The professor, the Hall of Fame professor, we might add, with the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame, she will be with us coming up in about 20 minutes. But we start the show with our friend Jeff Munn. Jeff Munn is in Vegas. He went up this weekend to meet Brent Musburger, which he was able to accomplish. And, of course, with the Diamondbacks starting on Wednesday, and Jeff being a big baseball guy, he's got his views on that, I'm sure. But more importantly, you were right in Vegas when all this happened last night at 10:06 p.m., where 50 people at last report were murdered, gunned down. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. And I got to meet Brent through the good work of your producer, Eric Sorensen, and our friend Jimmy Vaccaro, so I've said it many times already, but I'll say it publicly. I thank them both. It was a personal mission, and I won't go into the reasons why. They're not appropriate at the moment. But
yeah,
it is, you know, as we all know, Brad, you've been up here many times. This is a place like sports itself where people come to the city to get away from reality. And last night, a very serious, stiff spoonful of reality was shoved down a lot of people's throats. The amazing thing, and I say this as a compliment to the public safety people, security, police, fire. I was in the Flamingo downstairs here. That's where I'm at now in the casino. And at 11 o'clock last night, as this tragedy was unfolding, this facility, the people in it enjoying themselves, were 100% oblivious to what was going on. Mm. And again, I say that not as a criticism of them.
Sure.
But a compliment to the people whose job it is to keep the guests of this city safe. And I think in addition to their quick response, and there's a reason that response is so quick, and I'll get into it in a second, but they did an amazing job maintaining calm in a city like this, and especially this part of this city. Mm-hmm. If you have panic set in, you've really got a massive problem on your hands, and that was never the case at least a distance away from the Mandalay Bay. And I tip my cap to all those people. They did an amazing job last night.
Okay, so where were you when you heard this first and foremost, and what were your thoughts? Did you see it on a monitor? How did you hear about it?
Yeah, as you can imagine, Sundays, every TV set is attuned to football. And
right.
All the TVs here at the Flamingo were on the Sunday night game on NBC. When the game ended, they immediately went to local programming, and shortly thereafter, you started seeing live reports from the Mandalay Bay. The sound is turned down. So all we can do, and I think I was the only person, literally, because being a former news reporter, your mind just kicks into gear.
Right.
I was the only one that was looking up at the monitor, and I could see the graphic on the screen that originally said, random shooter at Mandalay Bay. Okay, that in and of itself is troubling.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 minutes later, I decided to go up and call it a night, went up to my room, turned on the TV, and then the story became a fatality, singular. And I went to bed knowing, well, that's terrible. And I thought that's where the story ended, because they were starting to talk about how they had apprehended, or the shooter had been either apprehended or subdued. And then obviously later we found that he shot himself to death. But obviously this morning I had a friend call me at 6 in a panic, because
yeah,
he was just worried for my safety. And he asked me, he said, are you aware of how big this has gotten? And I said, no. And when I saw it, I just went numb, because it's just, you can't comprehend that kind of loss of life. And I have to admit, the most amazing part of this if that's the word you want to use, when I heard the number of dead and injured, I just assumed it was a terrorist attack and it was multiple shooters. To find out it was one man, just it just leaves you with your mouth hanging open.
Right. Well, and so today, what is it like there at the Flamingo? Did you go for a walk down on the Strip? I mean, I'm curious.
Knowing
that you're a news person, Jeff, you and I know each other very well, that you're a news person, you know where there's a news story. You had to go walk down there, I would think.
Well, I did several things. I talked to a number of people who work here in the hotel, both staff and management. One of the things they told me that I was not aware of was at midnight last night, all the hotels in Las Vegas, including ones that are not on the Strip, went into lockdown, which essentially means you can't go in and those inside can't go out.
Wow.
Now, this is a procedure that they're used to doing because they do it every New Year's Eve. If
wow.
you've never been up here at New Year's Eve, the Strip, Las Vegas Boulevard, has turned basically into kind of a Times Square setting where people are allowed to just congregate on the street. Traffic is shut down, and all the hotels on New Year's Eve at some point go into lockdown mode. So they're used to doing it. The mood this morning, staff-wise, was one of nervousness, understandably. The guest here that I've talked to, that I've been around and eavesdropped on conversations, obviously, everyone's talking about it. A lot of people on phones checking with family. And while this is a city that kind of can detach itself from reality, and things are moving along as normal, I mean, you can hear the noise in the background. It's a normal day in a Las Vegas casino. There's a little bit more of a somber tone to things. People are not as jovial. There's a little bit of hooting and hollering, somebody one big at a table, but not as much as you would normally have,
sure.
even for a Monday morning in Las Vegas.
Sure. Safe travels. I wanted to check in with you. I'm glad to... I will tell the audience this because I sent it to Jeff. I was glad to get a return text from him because you just don't know when something like that happens. So.
Yeah, and thank you. I'm glad we could hook up. And I had a lot of people trying to reach me overnight. And it's funny, you just don't think of those things. I put the phone on vibrate and I wake up and there's 20 messages going, "Are you okay?" And I'm thinking,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're fine, and I'm actually in town in about a half an hour, and I think this is one time it was really good that I drove up here instead of flew.
Oh, no question. Stay well, safe travels. There's Jeff Munn in Vegas, and appreciate his time right there. It's awful. And with that, I'm going to gently, because there is no right way to do this, move over onto the sports side of things. So it was a weekend in which I saw two quarterbacks that have ties here to the Valley, one on Saturday and one on Sunday, and both of them about lost their heads. Both of them were just taking vicious shots. And I've already said I don't believe Manny Wilkins will finish the season as many hits as he's taken. It looked to me like he was done a couple of times in the game against Stanford. Yesterday, Carson Palmer, it's just hazard pay with him dropping back to throw. Anybody who's going to make an evaluation of Carson Palmer based off of his productivity with his numbers, you have to understand, Eric, what was the number of hits that it finished up on? You were at the game, and I. Last 2 weeks, it was like
he'd been sacked 12 times combined between the Cowboys and the 49ers. He was hit 16 times yesterday, and I believe the number was 18 against the Cowboys. So you're talking about
better.
So you're talking about almost 40 times having your quarterback hit.
I mean, come on, it's. So, and when the game ended, I had unbelievably, I had people that said, they're going nowhere with Palmer at quarterback. Well, here's the breaking news, guys. The fact that he even made it through the game 2 weeks in a row, because it's not good. It's not good. Now, here is the thing with ASU on Saturday. I'm tying the two together here. The thing with ASU on Saturday was they knew all week long that Bryce Love was going to run for a bunch of yards, or at least attempt to run for a bunch of yards on them. And all week long, the conversation was, we got to stop Bryce Love. And all afternoon on Saturday, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And it wasn't just Bryce Love. There were, again, missed tackles, arm tackles. There were just plays that he ran left ways, right ways, sideways, circles, whatever term you want to use, for the tune of 300 and 1 yards rushing on Arizona State's defense. like numbers that you just won't want to see unless you're playing Madden, right? Numbers that when you go back on it, it was a Doug Howler had some of the stats yesterday of where ASU's defense is. During the Todd Graham era, in the last 11 games dating back to last season, Bryce Love, 301 yards Stanford. Philip Lindsay, Colorado, 219 yards last season. Rashad Penny, 216 yards this season. Brandon Dawkins, Arizona, 183 yards last season. Joe Williams, last season, Utah, 181 yards. Samaje Grant, Arizona, last season, 176 yards. Arizona State's national defensive rankings. This comes from Doug Howler on Twitter. ASU's national defensive ranking. They're 115th in scoring defense. 115th. Allowing 35 points per game. They're 97th. Hey, they broke the top 100. 97th against the run with 190 yards allowed per game. They're 121st in the country against the pass. Total defense, 119th in the country. They're allowing 6.9 yards per play. Per play, 6.9 yards, which is 123rd in the country. So when I get these people that want to tell me, well, you know, you're really hard on ASU and you're not hard on the Cardinals, here's the difference, brain surgeons. Okay? The Cardinals, as an NFL team, have been in the postseason here recently. You can't compare the NFL to college on a lot of fronts. But on the college front, ASU is just flat awful when it comes to defense again. And every year it's the same deal. Every year I'm going to hear on Letter of Intent Day, can't believe we got this guy. He's such a stud. Can't believe we got this guy. He's terrific. Can't believe we got this guy. And here it is again, 120th or 110th. I mean, at some point, is somebody, anybody, going to say, this is unacceptable? Well, we changed coordinators. They just have to figure it out. Well, this guy got hurt. Well, you have to understand we have injuries. It's a win-loss performance basis. Now, I can easily flip that around and say, did I see some things out of Arizona State that made me look at them and say, you know, they're not that bad? Yeah, I did. I'll get to that on the other side, plus the Diamondbacks. Sports360AZ.com will partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, or television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 16 airings every week, starting tomorrow night. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, I'll get back over to Arizona State in a minute, but I want to get over to the Diamondbacks here. So this is a big week. This is a week that we've been very much looking forward to on many, many levels. It's intriguing. The buzz that I get around town is not about the Cardinals. It's not about ASU. It's not about the Suns opening their preseason or the Coyotes or regular season this week. It's a busy week. October is typically, Eric, would we agree October is the best month?
By far.
For sports, fans of sports.
I would say October or March. March is a great month, too.
Because of March Madness.
And spring training.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. Are you into the Diamondbacks deal, or is it just kind of sort of maybe let me get to the game on Wednesday?
I will watch. It will be.
That's not very endorsing.
Well, I mean, it'll be a priority, but I am just not the biggest of baseball fans. But how can you not get caught up with what this team has done? They completely flipped their win-loss record from this year to last year. So,
well, and to me, it's all lined up. Like, if Greinke goes out and gives up five runs and gets knocked out of the game in the third inning, Greinke's not going to be back next year, right? I mean, that's the pressure really is on Zach Greinke to do his thing.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting because all season the Diamondbacks have sort of been the underdog, and Wednesday they will not be the underdog. They will be favored to win that baseball game.
So Ernie Johnson is doing the game. For those of you that are not going to the game is on TBS. Okay.
Always tricky this time of year to try to figure out where these baseball playoff games are.
Where's the game?
It's not like the good old days where they just put them on Fox.
No. So it's on TBS. The National League is on TBS. And so Ron Darling is going to be doing the color work with Ernie Johnson. Ron Darling, of course, former Mets pitcher. And he's fine. Their pregame show, they're going to have Pedro Martinez out here. And I think Pedro's great. And a bunch of other former players. But Pedro Martinez is really the one that jumped off the list to me. Of course, when it comes to the Diamondbacks and postseason, I have to get the email today of what food items have been added for a playoff game. Because we all know that when we buy our tickets to go watch them play, the most important thing is, what am I going to eat that is going to shorten my life but really make my fan experience that much better? I don't really blame the Diamondbacks because we've done this to ourselves. We're a country, we're a nation that loves to eat and loves to gorge themselves when we go to sporting events. It's like a given. I'm going to pay to park, I'm going to buy a seat, and then I'm going to eat stuff that I would never, ever tell my kids to eat, such as I'm going to go to the game, and the Diamondbacks on their new wild card game menu for this Wednesday are going to unveil the Chili Riano Burger. Of course they are. 6 ounce ground beef with chorizo patty, very healthy, battered green chili and jack cheese, Mexican red salsa, queso fresco, cilantro, lettuce on a torta roll will be available in 3 sections around the ballpark. That is a heart attack waiting to happen.
So you go to the game,
yeah,
and you're there, oh, no, 15, 20 minutes for a first pitch, and you say, man, I'm hungry. I want to try one of these new Chase Field ballpark items.
Right.
By the fourth inning, after not only eating that concoction, but sitting in one area in a seat for the next hour and a half.
Not moving anything.
No. It's not like, hey, you know what? We just ate this really, really filling, calorie-filled meal. Let's take a walk around the concourse. No, you're not going to do that. It's playoff baseball. You're going to be sitting right there in your seat while all that food coagulates somewhere down in your lower intestine.
Coagulating. That's a good word. The Four Peaks Ribeye Grinder. Now, this doesn't sound half bad. It's a Chef Card Prime Rib of Beef, Four Peaks Hop Knot IPA Beer Cheese, arugula, vine-ripe tomatoes, pretzel baguette.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually. Yeah. That sounds good right now at 10:27 in the morning.
Well, why didn't we not call Derek and say, look, we're going to talk about your ballpark items. Please send one of the people over. We'll put them on mic, too. We'll do some close-up shots. Jared Nielsen would love to get like the Chili Riano burger in him right about now.
I mean, the Diamondbacks they're all about capitalism, so I don't blame them because this is nothing new. I mean, every year they unveil these new ballpark items, whether it be the churro dog or whatever. So I wasn't totally shocked when I got that email this morning.
Okay, the Cran Slam Cooler. Now, if I'm going to go to a game and get lit, I guess I'm going to do some Cran Slam Coolers. And I'm not one of these guys because covering sports for so many years in press boxes, just in like the last 5 years, since I started doing this, I have to go to some games and sit with people that are our partners or want to be our partners. It's called doing business. So I will sit out in the stands, and I've noticed more and more the dope behind me, like three rows, who's on a sixth beer by the third inning. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? So the Cran Slam Cooler could have about the same sort of impact. Absolute Mandarin Vodka, cranberry juice, cider, lemonade, simple syrup, sugarcane stick, an orange wheel, available at all liquor portables. So I don't know if the guy that comes around and takes your order in those seats, I've sat in those seats a few times. I've sat in the upper deck. I'm guessing he's not coming up to the upper deck to take my order. Hey, would you like to have one of these? I'll have to go stand in line. And then they finish with the caramel cinnamon roll sundae. Of course they do. This is what you want in a cup. You want a fresh baked cinnamon roll. You want caramel applesauce with vanilla frozen yogurt, snickerdoodle cookie pieces. It's going to be available in a couple of sections around the ballpark. Again, following Eric's point, I'm going to order a Chili Riano burger. And to calm my antacid, I'm going to get a caramel cinnamon roll sundae. And then to wash it down, I'm going to have a Cran Slam Cooler. I'm going to put all this in me, and then I'm going to sit there. I'm going to sit there for 2 hours. And occasionally, the only physical activity I'm going to do is this. Or, hey! And that's it.
Did they include caloric intakes with each of the menu items?
You're right.
You're looking at like, if you did...
Sampled the four.
If you just sampled the four, you're well over a grand.
Oh, sure.
Easily.
Are you talking about money or calories?
No, calories.
Okay. Just having a little fun there.
And people,
don't get so personal with the Diamondbacks about this stuff. You know, we can poke fun at you. You can poke fun at us. It's fine.
The Diamondbacks are banking on people opening up their wallet.
Literally
and spending,
banking on people.
Yeah, and spending a little bit more money on concessions and
you
booze.
Are good
as,
today.
As well, they should.
You are on fire today. It's good. Like seeing it. So none of this stuff attracts you to go to the game.
Well, I don't have a credential, so I am not going to be going
to
the game.
You can get a ticket. Go buy a ticket. Don't be a media snob.
I don't have a credential, so I'm not going to the game. But I will watch it. I will watch the whole thing. Because I am definitely interested because I like success stories. And over the past, how long has we been doing this? 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, their last success story was when you started this company, which was, what, 2011?
Yep.
2012?
Yep.
And it's nice to see meaningful baseball at the end of the summer and early fall.
Did you see where Ken Kendrick sent his plane to Puerto Rico?
I did.
That's
pretty cool.
And, you know, that's not something that he would let out. That's not something that I know him well enough. I can say this. I know him well enough. There's no way that he would say, hey, let people know that I am doing this. That is some people that are saying, hey, you know, we got to let people know that this is happening because this is a really good story. Ken Kendrick, if you didn't hear, just check it out. He sent his private jet down for one of the players down to Puerto Rico, took supplies, brought family. I mean, it was really good. Really, really good stuff. There is good stuff, guys. Trust me. I can do anthem protests all day long. It's stunning to me on social media this morning, people that wanted to politicize a shooting in Las Vegas. Like, sure, A plus X equals M. I don't know this. Like, it's all this person's fault who's sitting in the White House. Like, really? You can have your opinions on it, but I can't make that leap. And so yesterday in Baltimore, when fans are booing when players take a knee, and there's always a discussion. I've had the discussion on this show through the years how the national anthem is not done before plays, is not done before movies, is not done before ballets, but it's done at sporting events. And I've heard it butchered, and I've seen it where people will stretch it out to turn it into their YouTube audition tape. And they'll hack the words and they'll forget the words. And people say, well, it's just beautiful. We have to do this. Do you have to do it on a Tuesday night in June, at a Diamondbacks game before they play the Brewers? Do you always have to do it? Or is it more impactful when it's a Sunday afternoon and it's the seventh inning stretch? Has sports taken and politicized the national anthem? That question is old and out of the barn. And do you have to always have it at every sporting event? Is it disrespectful if it doesn't happen? Or are we just turning it into something to say, look at how wholesome we are as a country, as a nation? We have to dial it back a little bit. It's pretty interesting. Senator McCain went on this rampage last week when he found out the national anthem was being sponsored. You know, that the military back in 2009 cut a deal with the NFL. Like, what is that all about? And that's been out there for so many years. Look, you may go to games. I go to games when the anthem happens many times. And this is somebody who goes to sporting events in every game. It happens. And more often than not, you look around and it's, okay, this should be about 220. And it's 3.5. And it's going really slow. I've seen the anthem done on saws. You know, guys take their bow from their bass and turn around and do it on a saw. I've seen guys do it on one guitar. I'm sure Jared, being a musician, he's probably seen it done a million ways. So Paula is next. We'll get more into this. I'm on a rant on a Monday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, the professor on the other side. So the Cardinals come out with a victory, and we'll have Paula here in a minute. With the overtime win over the 49ers on Sunday, the Cardinals have now beaten San Francisco 5 straight times. That sounds impressive to some people, but those of us that watch day after day, guys, you know this, 49ers aren't very good. They're a team in transition. I think that what we saw yesterday, you obviously had a desperate team with the Cardinals with their offensive line all beat up, and they just had to try and survive yesterday. This is one of those games they just had to try and survive and get through, and they were able to do it. Now they play at Philadelphia this coming Sunday morning at 10 a.m. The professor, the Hall of Famer, Paula Bovin, is with us. She's going to the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame. Do you know the date on that yet, by the way?
November 1st.
November 1st. I do anything big, a swanky red carpet. Are you going to be...
They do. They do, like, wow. A big dinner and a red carpet, although... I don't know about walking down that red carpet. That may be more for the athletes, but yeah, it's really cool. It's very cool.
It's on November 1st, so Eric and I are going to have to go. We'll be paparazzi. We'll just
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll get we'll just get a magic flashbulb that goes off over and over and over.
Ask me all those hard hitting questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, how are you handling Vegas today at class?
I'm one of those people. I get up early and immediately turn on the news. I'm just a news junkie. And I've it has been with dread, I swear. Well, since 9/11, it's changed my what am I going to see now. But as soon as I saw what happened, I just, it's scary. I mean, you know, we're talking this in the newsroom and here at Cronkite and employing reporters out because we're usually our biggest groups of people gathered. It's rock concerts or music concerts, excuse me, and it's sporting events. And so, you know, there are buildings here, not to be morbid, but there are buildings here in Phoenix that look over Chase Field, right?
Yep.
There are these venues everywhere. And so it's just so sad. It's really, really sad.
Have you then had these conversations with them today in deep detail? I'm teaching this afternoon at 4:30 and I think you have to talk about it, obviously. You can't just ignore that it didn't happen. First of all, you're talking to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who are shell-shocked and are feeling a sense of security or lack of security in their country. You know, a lot of them weren't born or not even aware of what happened on 9/11. So you have that. So what are you telling them today, if anything? I'm looking for guidance here.
Yeah, a lot of things. I mean, we've talked about sort of sensitivity in reporting. There's a possibility we might be sending someone up to Vegas. And so there's a lot of tough questions you have to ask. But we're also talking about showing some responsibility and restraint on social media. And this is unrelated to this event. But yesterday, I think it was a Philadelphia reporter tweeted something of the Chargers stadium, the SubHub Center, that the Chargers had put up tarps over empty seats.
Yes.
And it turns out that wasn't the case. The capacity, I think, is limited to 27,000 this season, and how it looked was supposed to be how it looked and not about empty seats. And so there's a lot of, in this kind of thing, there's a lot of opportunity for irresponsibility on social media. So we talked about that a lot. And also, the videos coming out, we're in a day and age where everything is captured on camera. And I don't know if in a mass shooting we've ever seen what we've seen today with the video and the, you know, people there and catching it on their camera and it appearing on social media. So
okay, so here's a question on that, Paula, because I think we're getting to that. You're in a working newsroom there, and if I'm at a television station today, I think the conversation, if I'm back at Channel 3, for instance, how much of the video of bodies falling and shots being fired is one thing, but seeing loss of human life on television when you can just go on Twitter, which is the world's largest, you know, cesspool or sports bar, depending on who you talk to.
Right, right.
And so, you know, how much do you show of carnage?
Yeah, the question is always, what is the news value of it? I think people know when you report that 60 are dead and that they, I understand the video of the shots being fired to people to maybe understand the situation and to educate them about them. But to show bodies going down and to show bodies, I think there has to be restraint exercise because I don't know if it is appealing to anybody for reasons other than gross, you know, our gross curiosity. So
Or clicks on a website.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if you want to find it, you can. But I also think you can get your message across as a news organization of telling the story without being very specific. I mean, you show some, but you don't show everything. I just don't think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, we're going to transition gently and do it the right way, and that's over to the sports that happened over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see either the ASU or the Cardinals? If so, which game stuck out to you more? And then we'll get over to the Diamondbacks.
Well, you know, I watched both of them. I think the thing that I got out of ASU is they are a much better team, even though they lost, they're a much better team than I thought. You know, early in the season before it started, Brad, I was much more optimistic.
Right.
I saw how they started, and I was, you know, I wrote them off as pretty much not winning another game. The reality is Manny Wilkins is a much better quarterback than I expected him to be, you know, and I think did not really take into account all these offensive coordinators he's been under, but I also like the system that ASU is running. They're getting more out of that offense. So I was, you know, I'm impressed because they're better than I thought, and they're showing a lot more grit. I thought they were going to kind of mentally check out after their start. Hey, Cardinals, you know, not a great opponent, but they won. I don't know with the injuries that they're contending with, how long this can go on, but, you know, in that division of theirs, I also watched the Seahawks last night. I don't know. I mean, I think there's still some opportunity for them, but the injuries might be the thing they're going to struggle getting over.
Well, it's interesting. I think there's a parallel between ASU and the Pac-12 South and the Cardinals and the NFC West. I don't think the Rams are going to run off and just win 15 games and go 15-1,
right.
B, I see a lot of mediocrity or teams just trying to figure it out over in the NFC West. And in the Pac-12 South, everybody had said USC was going to be the greatest thing ever. And that, losing a Pullman on a Friday night is no disgrace. I get that. But they're starting to be hit really hard by injuries and starting to stack up. And there's not a team that you look at in the Pac-12 South to say, boy, they're really good. I don't see it. And that includes ASU. I don't think they're great. I think they have some nice individual pieces. But the situation here at Arizona State's much different than at USC. Clay Helton can have what they term a down year and win 7 games. Todd Graham over here has just got to get to 6 or 7. And the next 3 weeks after the bye this week, you've got Washington, you've got USC, and you've got Utah. I don't see it myself, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's I don't know how both of these teams, how these things are going to unfold, but color me more intrigued, certainly with ASU, than I was at the start. So,
okay, Diamondbacks, are you going to go to the game as a working person at Cronkite, working journalist, working professor, or are you going to go as a fan?
No, I am going. I will be going as a working journalist at Cronkite. We have a couple of reporters who will be covering, and I will be there just sort of supervising, even though these two don't really need my supervision. But yeah, absolutely. And I'm most interested in seeing what Chase Field is like, the environment, because Brad, we've both been to many games where, you know, it's either a lot of opponent fans, they haven't been able to draw. Now, it's certainly been, they've been doing better since they've been good, but I'm really, just as a fan of fandom, curious to see what that crowd's going to be like.
Well, if Greinke doesn't pitch well, doesn't, and there's no reason to believe that he is not going to pitch well, but if he doesn't, and if they lose, I think you don't see Zach Greinke here next season. I could be wrong on that, but I think they'd like to get out from under that deal. And we don't know if J.D. Martinez is going to be back next season. Actually had some baseball people suggest they're not going to be able to keep all three, and of the three, Goldschmidt may be the one. This is baseball people that, you know.
Sure.
You could get a King's ransom by moving Goldschmidt and keeping the other two. I don't agree with that, but you got to go through all scenarios. So
yeah, I mean, also all of those scenarios are, you can't discount them. I mean, when you try to add those numbers up, Brad, there is no question. I think something's going to have to give.
Stay well. Appreciate the time and insight.
Okay. Good talking to you, Brad.
You too. See you. There's a professor, the Hall of Famer, November 1st. Should we put her in the Fabiano Hall of Fame, Eric? Put her right alongside of...
Hey, if you're in the Hall of Fame, you're in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter what Hall of Fame you're in, whether it's fantasy football or as a journalist.
Is Peter in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I don't believe so.
I don't think he is.
He will be, but I don't think he is yet.
So then, and Pedro, is Pedro going to be a Hall of Fame writer? I think so. I think so.
A writer or a reporter?
That's true.
I would say more of a reporter. He's been out of the writing scene for probably a decade now.
He could write.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he write a little bit or nothing?
I don't believe so.
Okay. What's up with that? But, I mean, that's a lot of Hall of Famers. What's our problem? I mean, we just got to get through this. On the other side, a few other things from the weekend we'll get to. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So I don't know how many of you have decided that you're done with the NFL. I saw on social media this weekend, and I've had some friends that have told me, and on in particular, some inbox stuff, that they're just done watching the NFL. The anthem stuff was the final straw for them, let alone the quality of play. And you can be certain, you can be certain that the NFL is going to fight back and release ratings when it's possible to show how great the product is or being consumed. Peter King wrote this morning in Monday Morning Quarterback that there was a major advertiser that was considering or is considering pulling the plug on their NFL contract. And if that were to happen, that it would suddenly change the landscape of what is going on in the dollars and cents. And you can read it in Peter's column, the MMQB, and Peter's with us every week. Tomorrow I will talk to him about it. To wit, in Dallas yesterday, the Cowboys-Rams game, you would think LA-Dallas, noon start, big numbers. No, lowest rating for a noon kickoff for the Cowboys in the last 4 years. So, you know, make out of it what you want. The divisive topic of the anthem, along with what's going on politically in our country, where either you're dead flat on the side of the president, and that is eroding, if I'm to believe every poll, or in how he's handled things like Puerto Rico, the national the disasters that have gone on within our country with the hurricanes and now in Puerto Rico. And I think people just having a general awareness, I'd say North Korea is thrown in that too in the news cycle. Are you going to blame us? Is it our fault? Or is the quality of play just you watch it and it's, wow, this is really not good. Yesterday was another example of that. Look at the New England Patriots secondary. It's really not good. Look at what happened with the Cardinals offensive line. You'll say, well, it's because of injury. Yeah, it's because the workforce is just decimated starting in July with early training camp and all these games in August don't mean a thing. Then when you do start having injuries, you've already lost backups to backups to backups. You've already lost it. And so you can't find good line play. And what happens? Your valued commodity, your running back gets hurt. Yeah, that was a play, a football play. Nonetheless, he got hurt. And it's a battle of attrition in the NFL. You're trying to get through to November and December. So these games in September are becoming worse and worse and worse. They just are. You cannot deny it. And add to the fact that the ratings across the country, when you look at what's going on things outside of sports, are starting to take eyeballs off of sports. I think DVR is a big part of it. I was not watching a live sporting event other than the ASU game all weekend. Everything else was DVR'd. I don't have to sit there live. So it's just a change in things, and will the NFL feel the impact on it? I know this, the Cardinals play a 10 a.m. game this coming Sunday at Philadelphia. The Eagles are 3-1. Real big challenge for the Cardinals to go cross-country, and no one's expecting them to win. Our show is produced by Eric Sorensen. He's our Senior Executive Vice President of everything. Jared Nielsen is the Chairman of the Board, and we appreciate you being with us. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona will air tomorrow night. We'll have 16 airings this week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Have a great Monday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.